College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The good. The bad. And the downright ugly. Live Sunday, January 24th, the showdown's in New York. The third annual Bunkhouse Stampede Final with more than 20 of the top NWA wrestlers. Only the roughest, only the toughest will be left standing at the end. And the payoff, $500,000 for a bootful of dollars. These cowboys will do anything.
Anything goes, don't miss it.
See us do what we do best. Double team, triple team.
The finals of the Bunkhouse Stampede, the baddest of the bad.
This is Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and I'm here to tell you there ain't nothing as bad as the Bunkhouse Stampede. And there's only one way that you can get the Bunkhouse Stampede, so I want you to listen up, Deaf Pilgrim.
For more information on how to order the Bunkhouse Stampede Championships in your own home, on January 24th, call your local cable company.
Welcome. I am your host, JP John Paz, from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me, the devil himself, the games master, the task master, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good. Did you know there's a new television station, or not a station, It's old wrestling matches. Have you heard about this?
No. Where is this at?
A friend of mine called me. You know, I told you my best friend was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He watched all four matches that me and Roop had, and I had other matches. But it seems to me, the reason why I'm saying this, we keep on getting hotter and hotter, don't we?
Yes.
Wrestling?
Yep. OVW has new owners. They're going to be traveling more. There's TV at wrestling everywhere. NWA and the Women of Wrestling are on the CW app, if anybody gets the app. So, I mean, wrestling is everywhere now. It's crazy.
I happened to this morning. You know the English guy, James?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Very nice guy. I guess Dutch is sick.
Yes. Yep.
So he had Greg Valentine filling in for him, right?
Right. Yep.
And Greg from Seattle. Were you aware of that?
No.
Mm-mm. As a kid, he was from Seattle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, I've said this before, but no one seems to take any sight of it. He used to watch his dad in Seattle on Texas Wrestling. It was a national product in the 50s. Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, that's, yeah, absolutely.
You know what? I mentioned this before to you. There was Texas Wrestling, which was nationwide. There was the two Chicago programs. Fred Cola, and you know how I mentioned the guy, Leonard Schwartz. Even though he was in the NWA, he used the AWA champion, right?
Yep.
Vince had part of that, Fred Kohler's. And the other one was Vince years ago had a program called Heavyweight Wrestling Championship from Bridgeport, Connecticut. So this thing about having pro wrestling nationwide, this isn't the first time, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And what I'm saying is they've done it more than once.
Oh, for sure. And more promotions where more guys were making a nice living off of it, too.
Yeah.
So as far as the topic at hand today, I just want to get right into it here.
Yeah.
I love going down memory lane, so why don't we stay there and head to 1988, yeah. The Bunkhouse Stampede from Uniondale, New York, a.k.a. Long Island, the venue, of course, the Nassau Coliseum, the attendance only 6,000, and the pay-per-view buy rates, if this is true, I read this a few different spots online, 200,000, so pretty good for one of the first pay-per-views here for Jim Crockett Promotions back in 1988.
Yeah, but doesn't that sound a little off?
Yeah, it seems high, way high.
Because you draw only 6,000 people and you draw 200,000, closed circuit.
Yep.
That doesn't seem right to me. And the other thing was... Let me ask you this, and this never set right with me. We're trying to become a national product, right?
Yes.
Do you think Bunkhouse Stampede fit the bill?
Ooh, that was my first question for you. I was going to say, is it too Southern? Because to me, Bunkhouse Stampede, and you're in New York doing it, it just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't come off right to me, especially in 88.
If they were in Amarillo, yeah, you know what I mean? I think it was too over the top, even if it came from Dallas, you know what I mean?
Right. That's Dallas not gonna sound national.
Yeah, isn't Dallas like the eighth largest market?
Yeah, yeah, it's up there, definitely in the top 10.
Yeah, so I mean, I just didn't understand that. Anyway.
When you look at it too, in New York, are you really? I know you're trying to go national, but being New York and bringing NWA up north, but then you call it the Bunkhouse Stampede, which immediately brings you right back down to the South. To me, in my mind,
yeah, and you're coming out of the end of Studio 54, the end of disco, where people were dressing up. You know what I mean? And now you got, and do you remember the boot they made? It was all crinkly. You remember? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a pair of Tony Lamas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, I didn't like it.
So when you look at it, Starrcade 87 only does 20,000 buys. This one's supposedly 200,000, according to sources. But like you said, I don't know if that's quite accurate because I can't see it being that big of a draw.
I can't either. I can't. That's like this year's World Series. It was the worst drawing World Series in the history of baseball.
Yep.
And you're going to try to say, you know, the ratings were great. I don't buy it.
True. Now, this is technically really the second pay-per-view, really, from NWA that they're really throwing out there, too, with Starrcade 87 being the first one. So is this the right way to kind of get the pay-per-view business going, too, having a Bunkhouse Stampede? Basically, this is going to be the Bunkhouse Stampede Finals, too. Do you like that for, like, a big, hey, here we are, we're the NWA?
Well, here's the other thing you and I need to take into consideration. I'm from South Boston, and nobody had cowboy boots. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe they thought the rest of the country, the people had, you know, cowboy boots that would wear it. It didn't work for me.
When you look at the Bunkhouse Stampede just in the past, Dusty Rhodes had won every single year, 85, 86, 87, and we'll get to this year, which is 88. But do you think that sits well either? Like, he just keeps winning every Bunkhouse Stampede. A little predictable.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it kind of got out of hand with Dust. You know what I mean? That was his NWA title, the Bunkhouse Stampede. Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
So you're there in 88. You're not on the show, but you're there. Are you part of the booking? Like, are you helping him book? Or is that mostly Jay? Well, JJ is eventually going to be gone pretty soon, but is that you helping him book in 1988?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I came over from Crockett. Yeah.
Do you say anything to him about that?
What can you say? You know why it's done. You know what I mean? I'm one that I usually pick my battles, like I told you, with Goldberg and other people. But there's some times where you're better off to keep your mouth shut because they're not going to change their mind and you're going to look like an idiot. You know what I mean?
Yep. The other thing with this show is that, yes, you guys are going to pay-per-view, and this is going to be your second ever pay-per-view event, but WWF on the same night has the television special, the Royal Rumble, which is on the USA Network. What do you think about that? I mean, that's direct competition.
Yeah, I thought it was, hey, Vince is, he's still a genius to me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought about this the other night. When I started, there was 37 territories. Think about that. But now, this is like the Ice Capades. Do you remember the Ice Capades?
Oh, yeah.
This is an event. It really doesn't. It's great that they have this great talent right yet, but it's so hot right now, and everything's going well for them. It just seems to be, you know, I thought, I'm stumbling a little because I was thinking, before I said this, I don't want to curse them. Everything that goes up comes down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll give an example. AEW. They got some of the greatest talent in the world. I think Bryan Danielson, I mean, MJF, Billy Gunn, just the whole group of them, right? And yet they can't get over the hump yet. And they've had some horrible blunders. Think about this. They lost Carlisle. They lost Andrade. And they lost Cody.
Yep.
And Punk. Well, the momentum really switched, didn't it? Do you remember when they first... The first year and a half, 2 years, they were the darling of the neighborhood. But I'll tell you what I did notice. I've been really trying to analyze this. You don't see many girls at those matches.
Nope, not at all.
No. So.
What do you think about that? What does that say? Not interested in the product? Or is that a bad thing?
Well, to me, it's a bad thing. When I work, you know, Jim Barnett, I always say this to you, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. He put wrestling from San Antonio on national TV as an experiment for Vince Sr. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. You know, when they started to expand, every market they went to and went to talk to the director, you know, either the TV director or the program director. And anybody asked those guys what time it was, they looked at their watch and they were looking at Jim. Jim gave out presents. Jim was on the third row of Jimmy Carter's inauguration. Are you aware of that?
No. Wow.
Were you aware that he was the head? Appointed by Carter as the head of arts and whatever the other part of it goes. He was the head guy.
Wow. Damn. Pretty crazy.
But look at the reverse. You walk in and you give him your card and it's from You're part of the United States government.
Who are you gonna, yeah, who amazing. You gonna, yep.
Who are you going to look at? That or the Bunkhouse Stampedes?
Hey, and if you look at Royal Rumble, they had a contract signing between Hogan and Andre for WrestleMania 3, which is obviously the biggest event of all time. So it's just absolutely crazy that you're competing with that. You know what I mean? Going head-to-head, it's kind of ballsy. I don't know if it's smart, though.
Yeah. Let me tell you how powerful Jim Barnett was. The reason why he got rid of Australia, there was a change of the government. Probably the first time in 40 years, right? It was Republican and Republicans and Democrats. What was, you couldn't own a business unless you had a Australian front man. That's why Jim got out of there. Jim was so strong. They flew around the country every day. They would go from Adelaide to Sydney. That'd be like going from New York to L.A., right? They would hold the plane until the wrestling show and Adelaide was a TV wrestling show was done. That takes a lot of power, brother.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. So where I'm going is there's a lot of people behind the scenes and Vince put together a really great war machine. And the funny thing is, like I tell you about history, people don't realize this. Jim and Vince Sr. had a trading program. One would send one from New York to Australia, and the other one would be Australia to New York. They did it all the time. Curtis, Bruno, Pedro, Barzacluna, you name it. I mean, he was a powerful, powerful guy. And that's why I said to Gary Jester the other day, somebody should write a story about Jim before he disappears from history.
I agree. That would be definitely would be nice. Yeah. And as far as the Bunkhouse Stampede is concerned, the third official Bunkhouse Stampede under JCP and the NWA is this show. Obviously, the main event will be the Bunkhouse Stampede Finals, and we'll also get an NWA world title match from the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. We'll get an NWA Western States Heritage Championship match as well. So,
okay,
when you look at when you look at that, I don't know if I like that title, but yes.
Wait, even if you like it, you're defending it in the East?
Yeah, Western States. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like AEW they changed it to the International, but remember they called it the All Atlantic title and it'd be defended everywhere, but it was the All Atlantic. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but that one really doesn't make sense. Bunkhouse Stampede, Western Heritage title. I mean, you know, when I think about the Western Heritage title, I'm thinking about California, Arizona, New Mexico. I'm not thinking about Jersey, Long Island.
Yes, weird.
Yeah.
Definitely weird. So let's start off the show First, with a dark match, Jimmy Jam Garvin, Gorgeous Jimmy, and Sting defeated the Sheep Herders, Butch Mitchell, and Luke Williams by disqualification in 11 minutes, 45 seconds. Sting in the dark match here in 88, kind of right before he's going to have a big clash of the champions against Flair. So, I don't know, just interesting that he's on the dark match here when he's about to get a gigantic push.
Yeah, it is, but I also think it's to calm his nerves down. He's a kid. We forget that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's a kid. I was there in the Clash of Champions. He performed incredible. It was one of the best coming out parties I've ever seen. He was incredible, and that's what made him. Rick made him.
Oh, yeah. Made him big time.
Yeah. And I sometimes wonder what would have happened if Sting went over and won the belt.
Ooh. How come he didn't? Was he not ready? Well, what was your thoughts on that, why he didn't?
Well, some people like to keep their belt. And the other thing is... I think they thought they weren't sure. It was not vindictive at all on Rick, but you're not sure. And then when you take that big step, then you got to go back and take the belt off, and you know what I mean? Quickly. But if he had won out of the gate with about 3 minutes left to go, I think they could have jump-started that company, but they had heard, so maybe it was the right thing to do.
Just want to mention for the main event later on, Dusty Rhodes, Arn Anderson, The Barbarian, Ivan Koloff, Lex Luger, Road Warrior, Animal, Tully Blanchard, and The Warlord will all be in the Steel Cage Bunkhouse match, but interesting to note that Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Big Bubba Rogers both qualified, but for some reason, without explanation, they're not in the match. Mighty Wilbur, of all people, also qualified for the match, but was injured and unable to compete. So there is his explanation, but no explanation. Do you know why Big Bubba and Dr. Death were left off the card?
I really don't. That was one of those strange things that just fell out of the sky. I don't think they wanted to see. Here's the crazy thing. And I know everybody's going to say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. When they bought UFC, right? Wasn't that what it was called?
UWF.
UWF. It was almost like they were buying their competition. They were still in competition with them.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, they beat Dr. Death, they beat Eddie Gilbert, they beat the whole squad. They should have, in my head, I mentioned, keep them separated, let's go on the road with two different groups and have a WrestleMania winner take all. I mean, why buy something to... Okay, we're buying a product. The greatest refrigerator of all times makes ice, produces ice chips. Ba, 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 ba. As soon as you buy it, oh, this is a piece of shit. I mean, I didn't ever get that. Because they had great performers.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. They had so many good guys in UWF. Yeah. It was crazy. Yep. So as far as the first match is concerned, Nikita Koloff versus Bobby Eaton with Jim Cornette for the NWA World Television Championship. The match actually goes to a 20-minute time limit draw. Oddly, not that great here between these two. Just kind of, I don't know, a little clunky, but the finish came with Koloff hitting another Russian sickle, but the time runs out. Do you like a 20-minute draw to start the show?
I don't like that combination.
Bobby Eaton and Nikita.
Yeah. Do you?
Well, Bob Eaton's going to have to pretty much carry him for 20 minutes. That's basically what's going to have to happen.
Yeah, but how long had Nikita be a babyface?
Oh, short amount of time at this point.
How long?
1 year, probably.
What?
1 year, probably, since he was a babyface. I think 87 he turned face.
I think it was a little bit earlier than that. I think it was 6 months. And then you get Bobby Eaton, one of the greatest heels of all time, and you get him as a babyface.
It's a weird match. Because obviously, but the Midnight Express are still going, and Cornette's in his corner. I know for some reason, it just didn't work.
No. They hated Jimmy. Now they're supposed to cheer him because it's Bunkhouse Stampede. I'd never figured that one out.
When you look at starting the show, I know you guys, Fall Brawl 95, you had a draw, which was great, between Pillman and Johnny B. Badd. When you look at starting a show, do you ever really want to do a 20-minute time limit draw, or do you want it to be shorter? I mean, what's the ideal, start for a show for a booker?
For me, the only way I would do, a 15-minute draw, right, on a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
After they do the 15 minutes, they have a meeting in the middle of the ring, especially with Johnny and Brian. We're going to give you 5 more minutes. After that, it goes to a referee's decision. Give them something different. And let those last 5 minutes on the opening match be a ball buster. People would be excited on every cover.
And Johnny B. Badd at Fall Brawl, he ends up beating Pillman, but it was a longer opening match. I think it almost went 30 minutes, but he gets the win there. Here, though, there's no real finish. It's just a no contest. I mean, it's just a draw, which kind of stinks.
Right, right.
You never really want to do that open up the show, right? You want to keep it hot.
Don't you think that's why the NFL, how many ties do we have a year now? Two?
Maybe, yeah, if that, yep.
If that. They know it's like kissing your sister. It doesn't work.
Yep, it stinks. Yep. So just want to mention that the next match coming up is between your good old friend Larry Zbyszko with Baby Doll defeating Barry Windham to win the NWA Western States Heritage Championship. The match almost goes 20 minutes. It was actually a pretty damn good match, what you would kind of expect from these two. Are you surprised that Baby Doll's helping Zbyszko here and Zbyszko's getting the win over Barry Windham?
I'm a heat guy, okay? Mm-hmm. I believe heat is the way to go. But they don't make many Barry Windhams.
He'll eventually turn heel. Not too long in 88.
They don't make too many Barry Windhams. If you want to even go back and look at Barry's interviews when he was with the Horsemen and different times when he was just the heel, right? The interviews looked pressed to me. You know what I mean? Too much smiling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was the greatest. I, of all the people I've ever been in the ring with in my life, I think he was the greatest babyface I was ever in the ring with. Flair puts him up there as in the top three.
Some high praise right there.
Yeah.
Any thought into putting Barry Windham into, the babyface NWA world title run? 87, 88? Because 87, remember, he had all those awesome matches in Florida and even for Crockett against Flair. I mean, five-star matches, just unbelievable matches. Any thought of putting him as the world champion running with Barry?
Something. Barry was. This came out of Dusty's lips. When I had booked for the Mulligans, and Dusty and I were in the office, and I was putting him over. And he said, he is destined to be the world heavyweight champion. It was meant for him. Something went wrong somewhere. If Barry would, Barry would up and leave once in a while. He didn't know where he was, you know. All you had to do is look at his credit card and see that he were in L.A., that he rented a Porsche and he was staying at a five-star hotel, right? Sometimes he took his eye off the ball. But to me, he was one of the greatest. Arn Anderson says the same thing.
And high praise from one of the best, AA. Definitely, yeah. I agree. Now, short card, there's only five matches in total, counting the dark match here. So the NWA World Heavyweight Championship match is up next. Road Warrior Hawk with Paul Ellering defeats Ric Flair with James J. Dillon by disqualification. The match goes about 21 minutes and 30 seconds. Really good match here. As you could say, you know, Flair carried Hawk, whatever. I mean, Hawk kind of can hold his own for sure. But good match here with Hawk going over by DQ. What do you think about that? Flair gets, you know, to retain his championship, but Hawk gets to win by disqualification.
I was shocked. And it got back what I said to Hawk. And I said, yeah, I said that. He took it that I knocked him. I couldn't believe how good he worked with Rick. I said, there's a match that will draw money. All you need to do is do an angle on TV, and you can keep that in your back pocket. And when you need an angle, you can have Flair and Hawk. It was amazing.
Yeah, really good match, really good chemistry. It's funny, if you take away, you know, Robert Gibson and put Ricky Morton versus Flair, that match is awesome. You take Animal away from Hawk and Flair, like, that's awesome. So it's funny that these different tag teams, two of the greatest tag teams of all time, you kind of take out one of those guys and put them in against Flair, and they just have awesome matches and awesome feuds. Any thought of maybe running with Hawk a little bit, or you can't break up the roadies?
You can't break up the road warriors, but you know the story about Ricky. They wanted to give Ricky the belt, and he asked what were they going to do with Robert, and they said, well, we're going to have to let him go. He said, then I don't want the belt.
Wow. Damn, yeah. Sticking up for his partner there.
Yeah, that's...
There is that awesome picture where he thought he won the title, you know, and they have that awesome picture of Ricky Morton with the NWA title, but obviously never NWA World Heavyweight Champion, but could have, should have been, for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know many guys that would have done what he did there.
Right, sacrifice, yep.
Yeah.
You know, Michaels would have told Jannetty to go take another job. As far as Hawk and Rick here, really, really good match. Probably a match of the night to me anyway. But obviously Rick ends up retaining the title. Interesting, like the way they built it up. Road Warriors a few weeks ago on TV defeat Arn and Flair by DQ, which is kind of setting up this match here. So they do build it up a bit on TV before the pay-per-view. Ever any thought into Flair dropping the title and then winning it back to different guys like Morton? I know he did it to Garvin for a little bit, but was that something that Rick was against or something that you guys had to really carefully think? Like we were talking about with Sting could have won it, but then Flair kind of stepped in and said, nah, not yet.
Yeah. The one that surprised me was the Roddy Garvin one. I don't think he ever defended that belt until.
I don't know. Yeah, we were joking around that. Yeah, I don't know if he did. Yeah,
I'm serious. I don't think he did. So I don't know what that was about. Well, I told you, Jimmy was supposed to win the title, but he had gout.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't think they had built Ronnie up enough, even though he was over like a son of a gun, and even though his work was terrific, they didn't hone in on him like they should have to make him the world champion.
Now, I'm just looking this up because I wanted it to look. He did actually defend the title against Big Bubba, against Arn Anderson, against Tully Blanchard, against Ivan Koloff, and he defeated Flair a bunch of times. He had best two out of three fall matches where he defeated Flair, defeated Flair via countout, defeated Alan Martin, whoever the heck that is. Well, actually, that's not a title match. But so he did actually defend the title a few times, but not on TV, it doesn't look like. It looks like a bunch of house shows.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure what they were doing with him as his champ.
Yeah, and I wonder what was the main event match. You know what I mean? Was it the Road Warriors against the Midnight Express carrying the show?
So when he would wrestle Flair in a bunch of the house shows, that was the main event. When he wrestled Arn, that was the main event. Wow. In Greenville, South Carolina. So he did get a main event there against Arn for the NWA title. When he wrestled Big Bubba in Greensboro, North Carolina, he was not the main event. The main event was Dusty, Nikita, and the Road Warriors versus the Horsemen. So he wasn't always getting main events.
Yeah. And Bubba was one of the greatest performers I've ever seen.
And when he wrestled Ivan Koloff and a couple other guys, the main event was Luger versus Dusty on those shows. So, yeah. Not necessarily getting the NWA World Champion treatment.
Yeah. I never figured that one out.
Then we have the main event of the evening, the Bunkhouse Stampede itself. Now, this time, the Bunkhouse Stampede in years prior was kind of just a battle royal. Come as you are, you know, you're dressed in the cowboy boots and the cowboy outfits, and you can use weapons and different things. So it's almost like a hardcore battle royal. This was a little bit different because it's a steel cage involved now. So this is why the match is actually pretty good, but I just don't like the thought of it. It's a steel cage where you can throw the guy over the top or through the door. Why would anybody ever get to the point where you can throw him over the top of a steel cage? You know what I mean? Why would you ever go up there? It just doesn't make sense psychology-wise.
I didn't like it either. They started a week in, they were in a panic situation because, you know, they were having this mighty war with Vince. I think they weakened the steel cage. I mean, do you need 10 guys in a steel cage match?
Right. Yep. Weird.
Yeah. I think this match, experimenting.
Yeah, and this is not a good experiment because the objective of the match was to either throw your opponent out of the cage or send him out via the top of the cage for elimination. So through the door, over the top. Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, the Barbarian, the Warlord, Dusty Rhodes, Ivan Koloff, Lex Luger, and Road Warrior Animal are in this match. Animal first eliminated Ivan Koloff over the top of the cage, Warlord through the cage door, but then Animal was eliminated by the Barbarian after a big boot. Blanchard and Arn double team Luger and eliminate him. Then Dusty and the Barbarian are the last two remaining guys. They go to the top of the cage and they're having a little bit of war. Three bionic elbows later and Barbarian is out and Dusty Rhodes is your winner in 26 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of this. It wasn't bad and it was some good brawling and stuff, but it just wasn't a real big fan of eliminating from the, not over the top, but over the top of a steel cage and out.
I'm not a big proponent of walking out of the door. You know what I mean? I think they should be thrown out of the door, beaten with the pin. I mean, we got away from what a steel cage was supposed to be, I think.
Yes, totally agree. Now, also, you know, as we're talking about, you know, if we like it or not, but the critical success of the show, a lot of people did not like it. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't like Dusty's booking. They didn't like the Bunkhouse Stampede, the way it was kind of booked. This might be too Southern. Then throw on top of it, the tickets of the event had the wrong start time on it. It said 6:30, and it was incorrectly on the ticket as 7:30. So a majority of the fans did miss the beginning part of the show. So just want to throw that out there as well. So not a good event at all. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Well, when something like that happens, no matter how great the show was, it's thumbs down to me. You can't.
When you look at it too, Dusty winning it, okay, maybe predictable, maybe obvious. Like, what else did they kind of build up? The only real thing that they kind of built up was maybe the Road Warriors and the Horsemen, but also Lex Luger turning babyface and fighting with Flair and feuding with the Horsemen. So that's kind of the only thing that you're really kind of looking forward to me anyway. I always think about what's coming after the pay-per-view, and that's really the aftermath.
Yeah, I believe a thousand percent.
Do you like Luger going after the world title at this point in 88?
They had paid. He got the first guaranteed contract in wrestling. They had to do something to get their money back.
When you look at the Bunkhouse Stampede, I just don't know. Obviously, there wouldn't be another one after this. Dusty would eventually be gone. I know it would be a while before he would leave, but there would be no more Bunkhouse Stampedes as far as pay-per-views after that. That's kind of telling, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I guess you got to attempt it. I don't know. Like, as a booker, do you have to throw it out there and attempt it, or what do you think?
I think it was so successful down south, he thought it would be successful up there.
And I do think that he thought, like, throwing the cage on there would make it spicy, but didn't work.
Yeah, and you cannot knock Dusty because it worked everywhere else.
Not Long Island, New York, though.
No, but he thought it would. So you can't blame him for trying. They should have maybe had. Went to a smaller town up there with a test market to see what it did.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. Want to mention before we wrap it up here, The Rock is back. Dwayne The Rock Johnson showed up on Monday Night Raw, beat up Jinder Mahal. He said that, hey, where am I going to sit at a restaurant? Maybe I'll sit at the head of the table. So everyone went crazy about that. Roman Reigns responded laughing. So, interesting. Is The Rock back? We were talking about how maybe he's not back and, like, you know, where is he going to be? And looks like he might be back. He said he's just getting started. He was teasing something there big time.
Yeah, obviously he is.
Now, people were saying, oh, it's going to be Rock versus Roman at the Elimination Chamber because it's a 70,000 seat arena that they're trying to fill up for Perth, Australia for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. I hate to break to everybody. Roman Reigns isn't on that pay-per-view, so obviously Rock is not fighting him then. And wouldn't you do Rock Roman at WrestleMania?
Yeah. You know, of course you do WrestleMania. I think Rock has three passports. U.S., Canadian, I think New Zealand.
Ooh, the Samoan lineage there, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been everywhere. Jeez, the life of a wrestler. But you got to do Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania night two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you're The Rock and they propose something to you, And he even said it, if you ever want, if, I'm sure you've watched, but Young Rock, he said, like, he goes, oh, there's my little cousin Joe. He goes, oh, he's Roman Reigns. He's a tribal chief. He's the head of the table. If we ever do a match, it'll have to be a WrestleMania because we need the biggest platform possible. The guy's got 400 million Instagram followers. He's not going to, right? He wouldn't fight Reigns on a lesser show.
No.
I don't think, anyway.
No, he's not going to fight him on a lesser show.
I can't see him maybe, I don't know about this. I was kind of joking around when I was saying this to my buddy, but I could see him wrestling Jinder Mahal at Elimination Chamber to get a nice little warm-up going, but he's definitely not fighting Roman at that pay-per-view.
No, no.
I don't know if you saw Raw. It was pretty funny. They teased, they said that former champion was returning, so Jinder Mahal came out.
Yeah.
And he was doing his whole spiel, and the crowd was shocked. They're booing, that whatever, and then The Rock comes out, blows the roof off the building.
Yeah.
That guy's pretty good. I don't know if anyone knows for it. That guy's pretty good.
Who, Ginger?
No, The Rock. That guy's, he's not bad. He's pretty good, that guy.
Oh, he's great. Whole new world, my friend. Can you imagine what that WrestleMania card is going to look like for 2 days with the talent they got now?
Crazy. Because Punk needs a match.
Yeah.
Cody needs a match. The Rock and Reigns could be the headliner. Holy. Then you got Drew and Seth and the Usos and all these other guys. LA Knight, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Solo Sikoa. I mean, they got, they got an embarrassment of riches right now over there.
Yeah. And, you know, Dominic.
Oh, we love him.
And Punk drew the biggest amount of money ever. At Madison Square Garden. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah. I was there. I went. Yep. Oh. 16,000 in attendance.
Yeah, but it was the most money they raised.
Yes. Because my buddy sat in the section ahead of me. He told me what he paid. He paid triple what I paid. So I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Like, and he was saying that he got it cheap. So that means everybody around him, they were spending upwards of $250-$300 for house show tickets.
He probably got it from Kerry Silken.
Maybe, yeah. He got it from Mr. Ticketmaster himself there, yeah. Mr. Ticket Broker.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit the plugs and wrap this one up. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. Kevin, what else you got going on in this crazy world?
You know, I told you I cracked a rib, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going out till January, and I'll be going to Long Island to do a virtual signing. And then I'm going to go to Florida for 2 days to work. So I'll be glad to get back to feeling better.
Nice. That's good. You need to get your health in order there.
Yeah. I was in the middle of four little puppies. Not little, but my... I have an Irish Linda has the Irish pit bull. They're very thick. They're only about 3-4 feet long and maybe a foot, 2 feet high, but they're just muscle. Then my one daughter has two chihuahuas. The other one has, I don't know, it's an alien, and she has a husky, and I got entangled with them. Tripped up, but I'm feeling better. Yeah.
All right. Hopefully all is well there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Puddinhead, how can you actually say that you have the strongest team in wrestling? Look at these guys.
No, stop there, Crockett. I have something to ask you, Paul Jones. You got some sort of problem. You got two problems you want us to take care of. We proved to everybody all over this world for 5 years now that the honking animal, we're the two strongest guys in professional wrestling and also the two best fighters. There ain't nobody in the wrestling sport that's stronger than us. And I got one other thing to clear up there, Crockett. Everybody and anybody out there, one thing for certain about Hawk and myself and our six-man partner, Dusty Rhodes, we still don't care. Anytime, anywhere, we'll defend our belts. Tell him, Hawk.
Well, David Crockett, it seems like X-Lax Luger has finally gotten totally constipated by the Four Horsemen. And the Four Horsemen seem to be riding to the edge of apocalypse now. Well, within every bad bunch of apples, there's the one that's worse than the others. And he just showed himself to be worse than the others. Now, Bunkhouse Stampede's our kind of match. What we grew up with, fighting bunches of people and walking out the winner. We'll be deviating septums, ripping out goozles, and knocking tartar off the teeth of every person who's stupid enough to not just jump over the top rope and get rid of the inevitable. the inevitable being me and Animal sitting in the bunkhouse stampedes, jumping over the top rope together and collecting the money. Then we give it to Paul. He takes it to the bank. Lord knows how much we got. Don't make no difference to us, because what makes the difference to us is beating people up and being the best. The Legion of Doom, like it or leave it.
David Crockett, I think we've summarized it all. Paul Jones, I think you're opening up a can of worms that you really ought to think about. The Bunkhouse Stampedes, how can these two men not be the favorites, the strongest men in professional wrestling? And when they set their mind on a goal, and their goal is the Bunkhouse Stampedes, there's nothing that can stop them. The Animal, the Hawk, the Legion of Doom, number one now, number one forever.
We snack on danger and we dine on death.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know they can wear that armor in the Bunkhouse Stampede. We'll be back with more action right after this.